Today, we'd like to see the title of one mediate in the 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 15. For online courses of people, we'd like to suggest three questions. Number one, in verse 5, for there is one God and one mediate between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. What does the words of one mediate mean? What does the words of one mediate mean? Question 2. In verse 7, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle, I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. What are different main roles between a preacher and an apostle? What are different main roles between a preacher and an apostle? Last question in verse 12, and I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. What inductive conclusion can you get from other Paul's epistles? What inductive conclusion can you get from other Paul's epistles? First of all, we want to see a little background. During the fourth or last mission trip from 62 through 66 AD, after the release of the first imprisonment in Rome, Paul sent this letter to Timothy to shepherd the church in Ephesus. In the 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 3, as I urged you means Timothy, when I went into Macedonia, so Greece area northern part, remain in Ephesus southern part, Ephesus, that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine. So basically, specifically ask Timothy to teach solely the doctrine prohibiting against other doctrines. To whom? To saints in Ephesus. So Ephesians church. It tells us that the church in Ephesus was polluted by other doctrine. That's why disciple asked Timothy. So here they teach no other doctrine. They should not teach other doctrine rather than solely doctrine. Like Corinth worship of Aphrodite, there was the worship of Diana. In the temple of Diana, hundreds of priestesses, nothing more than prostitutes, seduced the man in exchange for money to support the temple of Diana. The priestesses and other doctrine contributed to moral corruption of Ephesus. Naturally or culturally, women were not allowed to go out on the street, less educated than men, and to talk to another man in public. So basically, culturally, many hundreds of prostitutes, Diana, so the spread, so the culturally, Roman culturally, Greek culturally, naturally, so women were not allowed to go to outside. Politically, Nero, the notorious emperor, rules the Rome, including empresses, persecuted severely Christians, later blaming Christians publicly for burning the city of Rome, and so many Christians were martyred. So at that time, disciple sent this letter to Timothy. Then here in chapter 2, verses 1 through 7 are to pray for all men. Basically, main theme, to pray for all men. Verses 8 to 15 are about different roles between men and women in the church. Different roles between men and women in the church. Verse 1, therefore I exhort meaning urge, encourage, first of all, that's supplication. Therefore, already we should see previous verses. The 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. This charge I committed to you, son Timothy, spiritual son, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, which means spiritual warfare, good warfare, having faith and good conscience. Conscience meaning natural understanding. Good conscience, which some have rejected concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck, over whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Basically, you know, two people blaspheme. So the disciple said, I delivered to Satan, basically means apostle authority, you know, give a discipline, you know, to them. For you know, they might have repentance time separated from the church over Ephesus. So basically, therefore, then I exhort, I urge Timothy, first of all, that supplication. Basically, pray without ceasing. Supplications means petition. So we may make a petition to man, also to God. Then prayers only to God. Then intercessions. What is intercession? Intercession means the act of interceding in this context with prayer for another. So another shamanism, you know, intercession prayer, you know, shamanism, you know, or you know, the pagan. God believers, you know, sometimes they said in intercession prayer, their intercession meaning is different from our Christian intercession. Our Christian intercession meaning we are praying for somebody, only one mediate in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But pagan God, different way. Pagan God meaning evil ghost, evil God and man. That kind of intercession prayer means between man and the evil spirit. That kind of mean. Here, intercession means the act of interceding with prayer for another, such as you know, Obama, or senator, or state members, or your family members, or weak people, you know, so that kind of thing. You know, that is intercession. And giving of thanks be made for all men. So finally concludes in results in giving thanks. Why? Because God Almighty, He knows everything. He listened to our prayer. That's why we give thanks. Unlike you know, other pagan gods, He knows everything. He created everything. So that's why God is in control. Over our petition, our intercession prayer. So that's why finally we give thanks to the Lord. So James chapter 5 in verse 16 said, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. So if you are ill, not only physical or mentally ill people, you pray for him or her, so he or she may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of righteous man avails much. So fervent prayer produces a lot of fruit, avails much. So we need a fervent prayer in needy situation. Verse 2, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Reverence means holiness and holiness. So why we should pray for leaders, you know, political leaders, kings, you know, or, you know, so whoever leaders, all who are in authority, you know, Orange County or Riverside County, San Bernardino County, you know, or governor, you know, so why, you know, we should pray for them? Because the result, lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and holiness. So in God's way, because we should pray, in this case, disciple Paul asked, you know, to Timothy, so Timothy, you should teach Ephesian Christians, let them pray for Nero, although he is notorious, you know, persecuting, you know, king, so you should pray for him. Also all, you know, the staff, you know, authority people. Why? Because then we may enjoy quiet and peaceful life in God's way, in all godliness and God's way, holiness. That's why, you know, disciple asked the Ephesian Christians, you know, let them pray for, you know, kings, you know, Nero, you know, anything. Although we might not have voted for Obama, we should pray for Obama because God's guidance, you know, so God's way, you know, he should lead American people. You know. So also we should pray for Iranian, you know, government. So Iranian new government released many Christians, but not all of them. So continue to pray for Iranian, you know, president. Also North Korean dictator, or many, you know, Muslim, you know, president against Christianity. So we should pray, you know, for leaders over, you know, every country. Then verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. So this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. Here, God wants everybody to be saved. That's God's heart. That's why God gave his only begotten Son to the world, meaning everybody. You know, children, adults, men, women, you know, whatever race, whatever education, whatever richness, whatever poverty, really doesn't matter. God wants everyone to be saved. That is the 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the second part said, God is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So God wants everyone should be saved. But not, you know, everybody, even everybody who rejected Jesus Christ, obviously will not be saved, but subject to punishment. John chapter 12, verse 48. He who rejects me, rejects Jesus Christ, and does not receive my words, gospel, salvation gospel, has that which judge him. The Lord judge him, punish him. The word that I have spoken will judge him, the rejecter, judge the rejecter in the last day. Also, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29. Over how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of covenant, the precious blood, but blood of covenant, which means new covenant, because Jesus' blood shed, you know, all, you know, sin, by which he was sanctified, a common thing. So supposing treated to, you know, unholy, you know, common thing, and inserted the spirit of grace, those people will be punished. And to come to the knowledge of the truth, God's desire all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So all men to know the Lord Jesus Christ more and more. Verse 8, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Here, one mediator means here, between God and man, not between man and man. One mediator means between God and man. That's a necessity, the Job talked about the necessity mediate between God and human being to his friend Bildad. Job chapter 9, verse 33. In the Old Testament, nor is there any mediator between us, God and me, who may lay his hand on us both. So really, Job, you know, petitions to the Lord, to God the Father. We need a mediator between man and God. So the Lord Jesus Christ here, the man Christ Jesus, as well as God Christ Jesus too, because Jesus Christ is the Son of God, so Jesus is God too, who gave himself a ransom for all, here all, to be testified in due time. Here, ransom meaning actually money. Some of the money paid to free a slave. That's called ransom. So basically, Jesus paid his blood to free slavery of sin, to free sin from our slavery. We were slaves of sin. Jesus Christ paid for sin price. That's why whoever believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, or whoever accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, is free from slavery of sin. Next, to be testified in due time. This means each person has a due time, proper time, to accept Jesus Christ and then testify. So each person had accepting time is different. Maybe some people 1975, March, blah, blah, blah. Some is a different year, different time. So each person has each own due time to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior. That time he testified, you know, how much I was a sin, then I repented my sin, then accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Then verse 7, for which I was appointed or ordained, this meaning by God the Father, a preacher and an apostle, I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying. Here, an interesting portion, disciples said, an apostle, hyphen, explaining, parenthesis open, I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying. This means I am an apostle. I am not speaking lying, but truth. Why the disciple talks about that? Because at that time, even many Christians doubted disciples' apostleship. That's why here I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying. Disciple Paul said a credential of apostleship, the first Corinthians chapter 15, verses 7 to 8 said, after the death, Jesus Christ, who was risen, was seen by James. James, a half-brother of Jesus' mother's side. So James is apostle, because James saw the resurrected Jesus Christ. Then by all the apostles meaning 12, you know, 11 major disciples plus one, you know, one elected, you know, the substitute, you know, Judas is a great guy. So that is apostle talking about that. Then the last of all, he was seen by me, Paul, also as by one born out of due time. So basically, Apostle Paul said, I fall behind in all the other apostles, but I saw the resurrected Jesus Christ. Therefore, I am qualified to be an apostle. Basically, he says, so the 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 7 through 18, you know, basically said, that's why here I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying. So I am an apostle. So here, apostle's duty here, a teacher of Gentiles in faith and truth. So apostle main duty, talking about book of Acts, chapter 6, verse 4, apostles said, but we, apostles, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So basically, prayer and the word ministry, that's apostles' main roles. So word ministry, basically teaching the word of God. So that's main roles of apostles. Here, a teacher. Verse 7, basically, preacher focus on two unbelievers. So then, the salvation gospel basically delivered to them. So everybody is a sinner, so we should repent of our sins. You know, then we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. You know, that kind of stuff, you know, that is called preacher. Preacher always focus on unbeliever. That's a primary role. Then apostle's role is a teacher. So a lady believer, so teaching God's word to be mature. That's talking about Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. And he himself gave the Lord, himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, of the believers, for the work of a ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, building up the body of Christ, until we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man. Perfect man, which meaning to a mature man or a conformed image of Christ, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So Hebrews chapter 6 verse 1 also said, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, such as the salvation gospel, leaving, let us go on to perfection, or go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. You know, that's salvation and gospel. First of all, we should repent, you know, our sin, you know, then we accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. The Holy Spirit teaches us God's word. So we ourselves, you know, maybe conformed the image of Christ, you know, being conformed, sanctified, you know, to the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, that kind of stuff. Here, verse 7, you know, preacher and apostle main role is different. You know. Then verse 8, I desire therefore that the man pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting. Here, disciples said, you know, pray everywhere. So, disciple, you know, Thessalonian, you know, the first Thessalonian said, pray without ceasing. Jesus said, pray without fainting. So, pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. Holy hands, you know, means I am instrument of the Lord Jesus Christ. My everything giving to the Lord. You know, that kind of symbol. Psalm chapter 134, verse 2 said, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. So basically, this is a holy lift up hands, which meaning gesture to giving to God the Father. I am focused on the Lord only, not drawing attention from other people, other worshippers. So really focus on the Lord. That's why one warning book of Isaiah chapter 1 verse 15, when you spread out your hands, I will hide my eye from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear, because your hands are full of blood. That's absolutely wrong. Full of blood. So there are some wrath, some doubting. So next phrase is said, without wrath and doubting. So God wants purely God's people focus on God. You know, that means, you know, spread your holy hands or pure hands without wrath, not, you know, bloody hands, not, you know, anger hands, not, you know, doubting hands. So another, you know, Jesus Christ said, you know, this is Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 and 24. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, your brother anger against you, or doubt you, against you, leave your gift, gift meaning gift to God, leave your gift there before the altar, and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. So God, you know, want to hear our prayer without anger, wrath, doubting, pure heart. So holy hand, lift up holy hand meaning so a symbol over, you know, purely giving, you know, to the Lord. In like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel with priority and moderation, not with the braided hair or gold and pearls or costly clothing. This one, the basic women also focus on God. A way focus on God here. Not like Diana, you know, the prophetesses, you know, not, you know, sexually attractive to draw attention from man, but focus on the Lord. That's why God, you know, ask is, you know, looks like a, you know, dress coding, you know, overcoat, you know, coat, you know, certain required dress coding, no slipper, no, you know, the, something like that. So really focus on God, you know, rather than drawing attention from other, you know, men, other, you know, handsome men. So like, you know, Diana and, you know, prophetesses don't do so. Verse 10, which is proper for women professing godliness, really focus on godliness, godlikeness with good works. Good works meaning, you know, obedience to God's word, you know, good works. So that's, then verse 11, let a woman learn in silence with all submission. Basically, let a woman be humble. So majority of women in Ephesus not learned well over solid doctrine, because the majority women in Ephesus were not allowed to go to outside over home. So little opportunity to learn, you know, the solid doctrine. So therefore, he has said, in silence with all submission. Then verse 12, and I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. Here is not permit a woman to teach. It does not mean, you know, blanket teaches. Every woman should not teach. Why? Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5, disciple Paul's letter said, Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5, the older women, likewise, that they be holy in behavior, not slanderous, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. So Titus, disciple sent a letter to Titus, you know, churches, the women, older women, should become teachers of a good thing. That they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children. Basically, disciple Paul, you know, told it to Titus, you know, the women, you know, the older women should teach it. To whom? To young women, to love their husbands, to love their children. So basic encouraging to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Also, the 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, so disciple pointed out, you know, Timothy's grandmother and the mothers were teaching God's word here. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you. Timothy, you have a genuine faith. Genuine faith where, you know, you learn the word of God. Because of faith and hearing by the word of God. So here, basically, genuine faith, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois. First, your grandmother teaching you, child Timothy. Then, your mother Eunice. And I am persuaded it is in you also. Here, you know, we understand, you know, basically, the women, you know, priority, you know, teaching, you know, God's word to children or grandchildren, and in church, the other younger women. That is the priority role. But the Ephesian church, there are a lot of women, you know, prostitutes, so many prostitutes are there. So that's why here, not permit women to teach, you know, in particular to Ephesus church case. Book of Acts chapter 18 verse 26, we see another, the name is, so he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. He means Apollos. Apollos, he knew the Bible, a lot of things. When Aquila and Priscilla woman, heard him, Apollos, they took him. Aquila, husband, Priscilla, wife, took Apollos aside and explained to Apollos the way of God more accurately. So Apollos, he didn't know baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's why, you know, Aquila, Priscilla, you know, bring Apollos and teach them here. Women, you know, with her husband together taught them. Also, Luke chapter 2, verse 36. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of a tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with husband 7 years from her virginity. Then 3 years, she spoke of Jesus Christ to all people. So here, Anna delivered the God's word, Christ is a Messiah to the all people. So here, woman too. So also Matthew chapter 28, verse 1 and 10. Now after Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Sunday, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. Then they met, they saw the resurrected Jesus Christ. Then, verse 10, Jesus said to them, Marys, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren, meaning, you know, the 12 apostles, my brethren, to go to Galilee. And there they will see me. So, basically deliver, you know, my resurrected body, you know, to Jesus' disciples, then let them go to Galilee, you know, like that. Mary delivered Jesus' word to Jesus' disciples too. So here, the women, the teaching law is not totally banned, but particularly to Ephesian churches, at that time situation, so, you know, not permit women to teach it. But in other churches, so disciple encouraged older women to teach young women, you know, to love a husband, to love a child, you know, so that kind of thing. Also, we see, is Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, women and men, the gender equality in terms of salvation. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So basically here is neither male nor female. So no difference between male, men, and women for salvation. So we can see, many women, are many good Christian in church. Romans chapter 16, verse 1, 6, 12 said, disciples said, I commanded to you, I recommend to you, forever our sister who is a servant of the church in Sanctuary. So forever, that is a good servant. Greet Mary, Mary also, who labored much for us, good servant in church. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, who have labored in the law. So very good servant to you. Greet Danny the Philippians chapter 4, verse 2. I implore Euodia, and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. So we see, many servants, in church. So here, we can see the women and men has major different roles in church. So salvation, all same. So then, here, verse 13, for Adam was formed first, then Eve. So Genesis chapter 2, verse 22, then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, Adam, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. So basically, man created first, then women. So this is creation, as man is a representative of a family, couple. So that's, Adam is a representative of a couple, husband and wife, and family. That's, talking about here. Adam was from the priest. Then verse 14, Adam was not deceived. This meaning, Adam was not deceived first, but Adam deceived through the woman Eve. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6 said, when the woman saw the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. But man, Adam, is a representative of a couple, of family. So he's liable for sin. That's why Romans chapter 5, verse 18 said, therefore, a through one man's offense judgment came to all men. Here, one man, Adam. So here, not say, as through one woman's offense, judgment come to all men. No, one man, meaning Adam's, because although Adam, secondly, he, accepted, Eve, his wife is given forbidden fruit, he ate it, but he's liable, for all sin. That's what here said, as through one man's offense, Adam's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the second Adam, Jesus Christ, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. So here, Romans talking about Adam and Jesus Christ compare, but today here, verse 13, 14, 15, talking about Eve compared to Virgin Mary here. Then verse 15, but the woman being deceived, first fell into transgression. Verse 14, women means, the woman means Eve. Nevertheless, she will be saved in childbearing. Who is she? Virgin Mary. Because the Virgin Mary buried Messiah Jesus Christ. Therefore, everybody can be saved through Jesus Christ. Here, she is a singular form, so the Virgin Mary will be saved in childbearing of Jesus Christ. So without Jesus Christ, nobody can be saved. So she will be saved in childbearing if they continue. They is all women, including the women. Women continuing faith, love, holiness with self-control. So she, singular Virgin Mary, bore Christ, who saved us, including women. Contrary to bar ministry of a woman, bearing children, taking care of them, submitting to their husband. So second interpretation, some scholars said, you know, women, you know, should bear child and raise up, you know, children. That's a, you know, creation duty. So that's a question is, how about, you know, barren women? So barren women could not be saved. You know, that kind of thing, you know, a little illogical. So basically, without Jesus Christ, nobody can be saved. So first interpretation is a proper. She is a singular, so will be saved in childbearing, bearing of Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, everybody can be saved. So everybody, including women, continuing faith, love, holiness, with self-control. Let's see each question. In verse 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. What does the word of one mediator mean? One mediator means Jesus Christ between God and man, which means Jesus is God and man. Question 2, in verse 7, for which I was appointed a preacher and apostle, I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. What are different main roles between a preacher and an apostle? Preacher is delivering salvation gospel to unbelievers. That's it. That's the main role. An apostle main role is prayer and teaching to believers. Teaching to believers. Question 3, in verse 12, and I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. What inductive conclusion can you get from other Paul's epistles? Here, not permit a woman to teach, only to apply at that time Ephesians, women Christians only. But in other, you know, the local churches, Paul's epistles, all the women should teach, you know, younger women to love the husbands and the love of children. Also, really encouraging, you know, the children, you know, at home, you know, taking care of them. Here, you know, we can see God, you know, does not discriminate the women, you know, gender. But rather than God, you know, to ask us, you know, different roles. For example, in a joyful life, you know, usually older women, you know, is teaching, you know, younger women. We call, you know, joyful life, you know, that kind of thing, you know, thing. So, okay, let's sing song all together. A last song, you know, we conclude in today's Bible study.